It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, visiting with us again via Skype. Good morning, Bill. Happy Lightning Thursday to you.
Good morning, Happy, and maybe it'll be a tad drier on this as we go into a weekend.
Well, maybe a tad. Paul has, as we go into the weekend, yes, that storm has moved here a little quicker, so get it out of here on Friday and let's enjoy a good weekend. What do you say? And we can sit back and read our Hendersonville Lightning, and we're going to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning, which is on the streets and in your mailboxes today. So, Bill, you and I were talking off air, and finally, after a number of weeks, we have what you deem a COVID light edition of the Lightning.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. It certainly has been for, what would you say now, 10, 11, 12 weeks anyway. Yeah. Pretty COVID heavy with all the news about the virus, the nursing homes, the schools, the adjustments, the economy, and so forth. And there's still some of that in this issue, but it's COVID lighter than it has been. Starting out, we went a little bit more featurey than we usually do on the front page with our lead story featuring the Knowles Cam and the producer and creator of the wildlife camera on top of the Haywood Knowles subdivision, Tom Brass. I've got a feature on how he puts together these candid films of bear and coyote, black coyote, blonde coyote, red fox, and it's unbelievable the amount of hits he gets from people wanting to watch those videos.
Yeah, I remember when you first started this story, and I kept telling myself, I need to go online and look at that, and I haven't done that yet, but boy, you have really piqued my interest here with this picture of this black coyote. That's really beautiful.
It's a beautiful animal, and it was one of the most popular, though not the most popular, it's one of the most popular of all the Knowles cams, and that was kind of sort of the phrase that we coined. I think Tom has a channel or a YouTube page where you can find all of his videos, and look for that, search for that by going to YouTube and search, he calls it Wildlife Behind Our Home in Hendersonville, North Carolina. But talking, Mark, about that black coyote, Tom can tick off all the species that he's caught on camera: bobcat, bear, blonde coyote, as we mentioned, black coyote, red fox, gray fox, squirrel, box turtle, snake, turkey, white-tailed deer, raccoon, possum, and he's even got a story about a hawk I'll tell you about in a minute. But his YouTube page has 6,760 subscribers, and he has a total of 2,481,000 views of all of his of the videos. And some of the big hits have been, you mentioned the black coyote is 158,000 views. One called Water Hole Wildlife is 437,000 views. A montage of wildlife has been watched 624,000 times. And a bobcat stalking and catching, by the way, I've seen it, catching prey has drawn 900,000 views. And then in our interview, I was asking him about different places he has that are sort of the Knowles, I call them the Knowles Cam stage, and one is the watering hole, and he goes, I just got a really cool video at the watering hole. It's a young hawk that lands in the watering hole, and he's never seen his reflection before, apparently. So he's preening, and he's kind of confused about it, looking at himself in the water, at his reflection in the watering hole.
Wow. So I think you may have just answered my question there. I was going to ask, apparently, I'm assuming he has more than one camera because, I mean, how can all these animals walk by the same camera?
He's got a couple. I think he's got a couple different cameras.
Yeah.
But this story explains, too, how he's done so much work and a lot of research, and he really loves wildlife. He's been doing this a long time, how he creates paths through the woods. And he says, you know, animals are like people. If there's a clear path, they'll walk on the path versus, trying to charge their way through the brambles and the briars. And so he does that. He keeps it raked of leaves because he said they like to be quiet, too.
So, wow.
He has ways of getting them into camera range.
Interesting. Interesting.
He used to use some meat to bait the stage area, but he moved to these kinds of scents like liquid smoke that he says he read that wildlife biologists use that sort of thing. And you'll see in a lot of his movies, you'll see like a bear, a coyote, some of them, they really like to rub against the trees that have where he sprayed that scent on them. Huh. He buys it by the gallon.
Wow. How about that? All right. You got me sold. I'm going to look those up. I'm really interested in seeing those. And again, I love these pictures you have on the front page.
Yeah, those are some great screenshots we got off the YouTube videos. Just search either on our website for Knowles Cam. A bunch of them will come up. Or like I say, if you find his main YouTube page, they're all there to pull up.
All right, fantastic. So let's move on to some other stories again as we are celebrating a COVID light edition of the Hendersonville Lightning again, which is on the streets today. Let's talk about this obit here, this Alan Leonard obit that you have on page two.
Well, we got a couple of news obits that have been apparently by their webs, given their website traffic, a lot of interest in the community. People will remember Alan Leonard as the prosecutor, the district attorney for our judicial district, which now is Henderson, Polk, and Transylvania. Back then, it also included, Rutherford and McDowell counties. Mr. Leonard was DA here from 1982 to 1994, and then later in the western part of the state, continued as a prosecutor. He also worked for the sheriff's office here as the attorney full time as the general counsel or the attorney for the sheriff's office. I think that was under George Irwin in the late 90s or early aughts, around that period. And what I liked about this story is that it's got District Attorney Ashley Hornsby, who's the DA in the for the seven westernmost counties of the state and the 43rd prosecutorial district. And Alan Leonard was a great mentor for Ashley, known then as Ashley Hornsby. Now she's Ashley Hornsby Welch, because Ashley is a 1996 graduate of East Henderson High School. She was sent on a mentoring sort of career day to shadow a defense attorney, actually, who was defending somebody accused of a pretty bad crime against a child, I think, and ended up, of course, seeing Alan Leonard, and that's when she said, that's the one I want to be, the prosecutor, not the defense attorney. And later she did mentor under Alan Leonard, and she calls Alan Leonard the mentor of her life. And it's really interesting to read Ashley's quotes about him. But you can read about his life and some pretty famous cases he prosecuted during his career as well.
And speaking of obits, there's one that you don't necessarily have in this week's print version, but the world of clothing is something I knew about before I knew what Hendersonville was. I certainly knew of the world of clothing from doing some traveling and coming up to the mountains as a kid and coming up to college. Well, Ditt Williams, who started World of Clothing, passed away this past weekend.
Yeah, exactly right, Mark. He died Friday at the Life Care Center of Hendersonville after a long period of declining health at age 92. He had a lot of brothers and sisters, huge family. There's a lot of survivors, so our thoughts and prayers with them. Blessings to the Williams family, who you're exactly right. He got a lot of tourists here. Local people like to shop at the World of Clothing. So it's really interesting that after he served in the U.S. Army during the Korean War, he He retired as a chief warrant officer after 20 years. After he came home in retirement from the service in 1973, he opened a truck stop in Saluda. And as an incentive to sell diesel fuel, he would give truckers cigarettes as a premium for a fill-up. Well, the non-smokers also wanted a premium for a fill-up, so he had the idea of giving them socks, and that grew into the idea of having a whole gigantic store of socks and clothing and all kinds of everything he has in the world of clothing. Really, a big discount store before they were so common with the Walmarts and the Targets of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. That was where you would go, certainly, and still here, and still a quite a staple here in Hendersonville and Henderson County. So again, Dick Williams, we certainly mourn the passing of him. Hey, let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a little bit. As you are listening to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of Patio Season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. The time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village is happy to announce that we have reopened. We have an outstanding selection of new spring and summer merchandise, plus winter sale items 75% off. We are observing social distancing and practicing all recommended sanitation guidelines. Customers are encouraged to wear face masks, but they are not required. We assure you that your shopping experience will be comfortable and safe. Thank you for being patient and supportive during this challenging situation. We look forward to seeing you at Joseph Lauder Clothier, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4.
Jay Egoff with Egoff Motors Regional Dealership. Now is a really great time to buy a new car, isn't it?
Yes. Let's see. We have a Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and used. Centrally located in Brevard. We service Asheville, Hendersonville, upstate South Carolina. You know, there's 0% for 72 months. Don't recommend going that long, but 0% for 6 years, less than 1% for 7 years. Great time to buy a car.
And you've got a lot of people taking advantage of that, which means on the other end, you've got a lot of trade-ins.
That's right. So we've had the best selection of trade-ins that we've had for years. And it's just all because people coming in to buy in new, they're trading in high-quality, low-mileage vehicles it's just great inventory.
And again, remind folks what it means to be a regional dealership.
We service Asheville, Hendersonville, upstate South Carolina, you know, all over Western North Carolina, Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, and we're at EGOLFMOTORS.com.
In Brevard.
And we are back with Bill Moss with Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, celebrating a COVID light edition of the Hendersonville Lightning. Bill, let's move on to development, because boy, that's certainly not necessarily slowing down in Hendersonville and Henderson County. Horseshoe Farms is back at it again. Talk to us about Horseshoe Farms.
Yeah, Mark is back for, I don't know, by my count, the third or fourth time for development plan. This has been sort of on again, off again. And the developer and owner, John Turchin, has proposed some fairly large developments there. And he also optioned that property on McKinney Road in Etowah, which is pasture land, and he had proposed 299 homes that didn't get approval from the county back a couple years ago. He's proposed as many as 220 homes at the Horseshoe Farm property, but now he's down to let me see the number. It's a lot. It's scaled back even more to just 36 residential lots for vacation cabins. And it's kind of a vacation resort kind of operation with a 3,000 square foot dining facility. That's, I think, in an existing building, a 2,700 square foot clubhouse, a 6,000 square foot event center. I think that is also already there. An 8,700 square foot horse barn, an arts and crafts building, and a pool. So that would be quite the vacation development. We covered a Zoom. We'll have more on this. We covered a Zoom. By Zoom, we covered a neighborhood compatibility meeting, kind of a public hearing on it yesterday, where Mr. Turchin described a bit more about what to expect out there. So that's one of the development plans.
So what's the next step for it?
We'll go to the county planning board in June, and then if it still stays alive, it will go from there to the county commission, presumably as early as July.
Can you put your editorial hat on for just a moment and tell us your thoughts on this new plan and whether you think it'll go through?
Well, being as scaled back as it was,
yeah,
from what it was, and also from the neighbors, there was one real close neighbor who knew John and said, I'm your neighbor, and they knew one another, and she said she liked this plan better than previous plans because it is so much reduced in size. There are still questions about traffic, whether there would be a right turn lane into, whether they would create a new right turn lane into the property, and whether they would make a center lane. Everyone said that was needed because that's a blind curve, but the developer says no. It's been reviewed by the NCDOT and by a traffic impact study, which has shown there is not a need for those road improvements. So
okay,
look for that. That always comes up. It'll come up before the planning board. I'm sure it'll come up before the county commission. It's also possible that I think being on the French Broad River as it is, that they may raise questions about septic tanks and whether there's not some kind of better. It's not close enough to any to public sewer to tie into. They will have City of Hendersonville water, but that's likely. I would think that may be something that the planning board or county commissioners may also question.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'm sure the Lightning will stay abreast of that. So let's move on to, of course, more development, and that's the Taproot Dairy and what the planning board has done with them. Talk to us about that one, Bill.
Yeah, the Taproot Dairy, it has public water, it has public sewer as well, and this is scaled back indeed as well. It's still a lot at 699 homes, including which is being made up of 472 single-family homes and 227 townhomes, priced, they say, from $260,000 to around $325,000. They have signed on that same large home builder, D.R. Horton, from the Dallas, Texas area, as the developer of the homes. And as I say, 699 is a lot less than the one they first rolled out a little over a year ago of more than 1,200 homes, townhomes, and apartments. No apartments in this version of it. It will still and did draw a fair amount of opposition when there was at this planning board, at this virtual planning board. But the planning board voted 6-1 to recommend to the Board of Commissioners that the county approve the project. It's on around 320 acres, so we'll see how that one goes. This one, a larger one, at that time it would actually had gone under 1,200, but a much larger one failed on a 2-2 vote of the county commissioners last July, I think it was. The county commission chairman, Grady Hawkins, can't vote. He recuses himself from the vote because his wife is a sister of one of the property owners.
And refresh my memory, Bill. This is the one that's near the Asheville Airport, correct?
That is in here as well. You're exactly right. Airport has emphatically renewed its opposition to this, saying that it's just I forget close to the approach, very close to the runway approach, and hundreds of planes filled with people or will be flying overhead, and the concern is obviously the most catastrophic consequence would be an air crash, but they're really more concerned, I think, over how much, if you put 700 new homes on that property, how many of them might decide down the road that they should sue the airport for being a nuisance for noise or fumes, that sort of thing. So, but there's something called put this word in your word for the day at some point, an avigation an avigation agreement that is supposed to for waive those property owners where the buyer would have to waive the right to sue over that.
Yeah, one would think if you bought it there, you saw the airport before you signed on the dotted line. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I looked at when we were looking at houses. I remember we looked at Heatherwood or various developments that were near the airport, and I didn't blink an eye. I said, "Cool, I love to see airplanes up close." It didn't bother me.
Well, and hopefully, if this thing goes through, by the time it's built, there will be planes again with hundreds of people flying into the airport.
Yeah, one could hope.
So let's talk about something else, Bill, that's really, really exciting. And one of these things that if you haven't paid close attention to it, it really kind of would have snuck up on you. And that's the Shipman's and this Cedar project that they're doing. The Cedar's this huge hotel and convention space and condos. Well, it's passed another hurdle, right?
They did have a neighborhood compatibility meeting. I had a conflict when that one was going on Tuesday, I think it was. So we'll have to go back and check and see, read the minutes, or find out from the participants what exactly happened there. But yeah, it did. It passed its first regulatory hurdle, you might say, when it had that meeting this week. So it would go next to the city planning board for a recommendation. This is a large conditional use, obviously a large conditional use approval. And from there to the city council. But what we had online last week and have in this week's print issues is kind of a neat story, a really slick video that the developer, which is the Shipman family, Tom and Fran, and Tom's mother, Dolores, and then the architect, Tamara Peacock, put together. And it's fun to watch. If you go on HendersonvilleLightning.com, you can click on a link to it. It's got some old historic photos of the Cedars and of the city train depot, which kind of fed the passenger traffic into the boarding house. So that's a neat story to check out.
Very good. Very good. Let's talk about something also, something interesting. Ken Butcher, longtime listeners of WTZQ will remember Ken's voice. Ken and his wife Jen owned Kilwin's for a number of years in downtown Hendersonville. We used to do a live broadcast there every year for their anniversary. And I used to love putting Ken Butcher on the microphone with me. He was a lot of fun. And many times we would talk about his writings. He had a couple of books out. Well, he's got a new book out called As the Crow Flies, and you've got a story on it here in this week's Lightning.
Yeah, a murder story, Mark, As the Crow Dies, actually.
Oh, sorry.
As the Crow Dies. You're exactly right. Kind of a Renaissance man. Very interesting. Always a big reader. As we say, he's been head of research at Sealy Corp. He was a Henderson County School Board member for two terms. He was what he calls a day laborer, ice cream scooper at Kilwin's, which he kind of credited in for being the main operator and proprietor of that. But we say he reached kind of a pinnacle. I've read all three of his books, and this one is really, I think, of a magnitude. It's way better than the first two. They were fine, but this thing could take off. It's just interesting enough. It's got a great character development. The way we describe it, it's a detective novel based in Asheville involving a highly intelligent, trained crow, a mysterious science company tied to the search for Osama bin Laden, and an unlikely crime-solving partnership made up of a veteran police lieutenant coming off a career-threatening injury and an Army veteran who moonlights as a roller derby star. So it's a cool story. It's a fun story to read. It's funny in parts, and it stars the architecture and quirkiness of Asheville as much as it does the characters themselves. So we've got on page four just a Q&A interview with Ken and kind of his writing process and his publishing process and his expectations for the book sales. And we even point out that the story seems cinematic, and we ask him, you can read in the Lightning, his answer to if there's any movement on that front.
Ah, interesting, interesting. Well, we'll look forward to talking with him about that book, too. So thank you for featuring that in this week's Lightning. Bill, I know that the Lightning is doing the same thing as we are here at WTZQ. We're doing our best to try to celebrate our schools and our high school grads and our teachers and our valedictorians and all of that. And we've got a story here in your life section about our 2020 Teacher of the Year, Fran Nelson.
Yeah, exactly right. Just like so many things that happen now, that happened on Facebook and via video on Friday, I think this one was, when they drove up to the home of North Henderson High School English teacher Fran Nelson and awarded her with flowers and a big sign and everything as the Henderson County's Teacher of the Year. There's 23, I think it is, Teachers of the Year in each of the schools, and she's the overall Teacher of the Year. And if you haven't done so, if the community has not done so, there's a really good video of it on the, you can check it out on the Henderson County Schools website and find the link. Bo Caldwell does a super job. He talks about sitting there, standing there alone in the school board meeting room where they should have been at the Hendersonville Country Club, having a nice feed and conversation and kind of a fun look back on the year. And he says, we're supposed to have a nice lunch in front of us, gathered together with great stories of the year. This is not normal times. I'm here at central office alone. Every seat in the boardroom is empty. But he talks about as much as things has changed, great teaching and great teachers is something that continues on. So it was a really, I thought, a moving talk and a moving salute that Bo made for this Teacher of the Year.
Fantastic. And thanks for featuring that story again on this week's Lightning. Well, Bill, there's a lot more in this week's COVID light Lightning. And we want to make sure, you know, we've only touched on really just a few of the stories. There's so much more for people to read about as they get to know our community and get and learn more about what's going on. Tell people, Bill, where they can pick up their copy of this week's Lightning.
Yeah, this week's Lightning. And I want to promote next week is going to.
Yes.
Really, really super fun, super issue, a fun issue in some ways. We're already working on that. I've been working on it for several weeks now, but look, it's going to be a big issue. We'll have every child, every senior that's graduating from the four conventional high schools and the Career Academy and the early college. So that'll come out, of course, on June 3rd and will be distributed to those seniors when they go to the drive-up graduation ceremony at their schools. So look for that. But, yeah, you can get them this week's Lightning, next week's Lightning, every week's Lightning at the news racks all around the county or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com, as more and more people are doing, to get an all-access subscription to both the website and a print issue. Or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
One more question, Bill, because I meant to talk about and highlight your senior edition coming up next week. Is there still time for folks to put in ads celebrating their graduate?
Actually, no. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay.
That had the deadline.
Okay.
We are moving ahead on a much much more aggressive schedule of just doing all the process-based pagination. So that closed out. We had really success.
Good.
Thanks to all who participated. Look for, I want to say, around four pages of those congrats grad ads, we call them.
Yeah.
So look at that as well. But, yeah, that deadlined on Tuesday night.
Okay. So make sure you're looking for your copy of next week's Lightning as you highlight our 2020 graduating seniors. Bill, thank you so much as always. Lightning Thursday, we do it every Thursday right here on the Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.